Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was in high school, there was a song that was popular in youth groups. It went like this.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I'll say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord.
Like the song that never ends, you know. But for many, those words seem a little too easy, almost flippant. I mean, a song like that's okay when you're young or going to college, when you don't have any real worries. But wait until you've had to deal with the real world. Rejoice in the Lord always. Wait until you have to cope with disappointment and worry and bills and the stresses of life. Once you get a taste of reality, you'll come down to earth really quickly. Rejoicing always is not such an easy thing to do. But you know, the one who wrote those words was very familiar with the reality of life. When St. Paul wrote those words, he was in prison. He was under house arrest in Rome. And there, in chains for Christ, as he put it, he awaited his hearing before Caesar. He had no idea how that was going to turn out. With a word, Caesar could either set him free or just as easily sentence him to death, and there would be no appeal. But as he contemplated his fate, he was able to write these words to the church at Philippi. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. As Paul wrote those words, he knew that he would either be alive or dead as the Philippians were reading his letter. Either way, he would be delivered. His prayer of faith was that God would allow him to face whatever lay before him with courage and confidence and hope. I often wonder, was Paul worried or afraid? And we paint these great saints as, oh, they were so strong. They didn't worry about anything. I don't know. I'm sure there were times when Paul was worried. I'm sure there were times when he was afraid. There are times in his letters to Timothy that his words describe the pain and the anguish of his troubles. You know, after all, Paul was, well, he was human, like you and me. And yet, even though Paul experienced times of deep pain and suffering, both mental and physical, he still held on to the hope through his Lord Jesus Christ. Through that prayer of faith, Paul called upon God and rejoiced, because he knew that God was still in control of all things, that God heard and would answer his prayer in the best way. And Paul's words sure come at an opportune time for us. We too have many reasons to be afraid. It seems no matter where you look, there are legitimate things to fear. We may not be in prison anticipating a death sentence, but there are many things in the world which make our future uncertain. For once, in as many years as I can remember, the Middle East is relatively at peace. But there remain tensions between our country and Iran and also China. How's that all going to turn out? And this pandemic just seems to go on and on and on. And although we're not experiencing it here, killings and riots continue at a fevered pace in many cities, especially our largest cities. And you know what? I'm not even going to address our political scene. Except to say, it's extremely disheartening to see our elected leaders on both sides of the aisles acting like selfish children. There are plenty of things to capture our hearts and minds. And I do mean capture. You see, it's easy to become anxious about our lives, and our worries can become so tormenting that we can forget about God and His promises to us. We can get so wrapped up in our troubles or our perceived troubles that we find ourselves doubting Christ and the hope that He offers. And that's exactly as Satan desires. The devil is hard at work sowing discontent as he tries to cause us to despair and turn from God. He does this because he knows that this is the way to capture us and take us into his hellish future. And that's a good reminder of why we need to be with one another so much right now. So why do we worry? What is it that makes us afraid of the future? You know, we work and we work and we work every day, nose to the grindstone, simply to meet the needs of tomorrow. All the mundane matters of life, food, clothing, friends, school, work, all of these just fill up the day. And we struggle. We struggle to maintain a semblance of control from moment to moment as we're propelled by the need to meet just those basic needs. And then something happens. It slaps us in the face with the hard reality that we aren't in control. Not at all. That we can't even guarantee tomorrow's daily bread. And that kind of weakness can be very frightening. Anxiety can also come from a sense of abandonment. I think we all know what happens the first time you leave your child at the babysitter or the first day of school. As you leave the house or the classroom, your child reacts as if their whole world has collapsed. The tears that they cry are a result of feeling abandoned by the ones who have made them feel safe and secure, and they can't understand that they will ever see you again. And we too can feel abandoned. That there's no one who seems to care about what happens to us. And that feeling can extend to our view of God as well. There are voices all around us that tell us that we are all alone, that there is no God. And here comes Pollyanna Paul, encouraging us to rejoice always, even in the midst of this. Don't lose heart. Rejoice. And guess what? We can rejoice in the God who answers those prayers of faith. We heard in our epistle reading this morning, tell the saints at Philippi and the saints here at Grace, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, we're able to rejoice, for we know that, as Paul said, the Lord is near. Shortly before he wrote those words, Paul said, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our true home isn't here in Caldwell. It isn't here in America. Our true homeland, our citizenship is in heaven, and keeping that foremost in our hearts and minds is so important as we make our way through this world. There was an old Peanuts cartoon where Lioness is working on a memory verse for Sunday school. And then Lucy asks, so you can read it. Now, are you sure you know your piece for the Christmas program? So I know it backwards and forwards and sideways and upside down. I can say it in my sleep. Yeah. Well, I remember last year, you almost goofed the whole program. Well, this year I won't forget. And God said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all the people. Say, that's pretty good. I told you I know it. I have a memory like the proverbial elephant. Well, I'm going on ahead. See you at church. Finally, so he's out the door and he's heading for church. And moments later, he's back. Lucy says, what in the world? I thought you just left. He says, I did, but I came back. I forgot where the church is. I think that same thing can happen to us. We can become so focused by the things of the moment, so focused by the things that are right before us, that we forget our destination. But keeping our destination first and foremost is so important for maintaining our joy through all of life's circumstances. Moving to Idaho put us as a family closer to our family than we'd been in almost 30 years. And over those years, we traveled back and forth to see our family in Colorado, and Idaho, and the Pacific Northwest, Northwest Washington. I have no idea how many hours we spent on the road. But we did it. We did it because it was worth it. It was worth doing it to celebrate significant anniversaries, to be together during times of difficulty, or just to be together, period. It was a long way, but it was worth it. And those hours of driving were softened by the destination. And as we drove, we learned different reference points. And as we passed those along the way, they made our anticipation of our reunion with loved ones even more and more desirous. See, that's the kind of expectant determination that God wants us to have as we live out our lives here. In a world where the immediate needs and problems of life seem to reign supreme, it's easy to forget where we're heading. We're heading home, our true home. And we must not forget to talk about it, to forget about it, to forget to let this truth of where we're ultimately heading shape our everyday lives. Keeping that destination in mind also keeps the promises of the one that we're going to see in mind as well. Along the way of life, we offer up our prayers to the God who is still in control in spite of what we may see around us. He is in control of our world, he's in control of our very lives, and he loves us with an everlasting love. We need not fear tomorrow. This morning, I mentioned that we're observing LWML Sunday. It stands for Lutheran Women's Missionary League. And we give thanks to this group. This group was officially founded in 1942, but its history actually goes back to the mid-1800s. Ever since that time, this group of mission-minded women have served to encourage, support, and strengthen the mission efforts of our church body and its congregations. And this short video gives you a brief summary of this incredible group of women.
The Lutheran Women's Missionary League, where each woman is welcomed and encouraged to use her God-given gifts as she supports global missions and serves the Lord with gladness. Rooted in God's Word, living out our response to God's grace through mission, service, and fellowship with other women, working together within the beautiful diversity that is the body of Christ. Over 100 million in mites in 43 countries since 1942. Through mission offerings used to gather funds in support of worldwide ministries. Lutheran Women in Mission, to all the people in the world.
think maybe the most important words in that whole video were rooted in Christ. In my opinion, one of the greatest ways these women have served us is that they've kept Christ first and foremost in all they do. And they haven't done this just for themselves. They've done this for us by always pointing us to the God who loved us so much that he sent his Son to take away our sins, to remove all of the obstacles that stood in our way to him. In spite of us pushing him aside, our God did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, making him to be sin who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. He did this so that he could graciously give us all things. In the midst of troubles and a world of fear, how can we rejoice? Maybe we should ask it this way, rather. How can we not rejoice? Our God has given such great promises to us that we can't help but rejoice and have hope for every day. Jesus himself promises in the Gospel of John, "Truly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name will be given to you." And in Matthew, he says, "Whatever you ask for in prayer, believing, you will receive." The prayer offered to God in faith is heard and it is answered. That's God's promise. Now, he may not answer the way, he may not answer when it's convenient for us, or even in the way that we desire, but in his wisdom, we know that his answers will always be best for us. So we truly can rejoice in the Lord always as we face the days of trouble and fear and face them with our God, hand in hand with him who goes before us into each new day. The prayer of faith is offered and brings about his peace. As Paul promises in our text, God will guard. He will stand sentinel over our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. So we can trust. Trust in God. Offer our prayers to him each day in the faith and certain hope that he does hear and he will answer. That is truly his promise to you. Amen. You may remain seated. We continue with the hymn.